Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special on the Newport Music Festival. My name is Mike Maino, and I'm here tonight to tell you everything you ever wanted to know about the Newport Music Festival, which is running for its 47th season. It's going to be running July 10th through the 26th. And if you want information about the festival itself, you can go to newportmusic.org. Everything you ever wanted to know will be on there. You can also phone and get information at area code 401-849-0700. And you can get ticket information or information about all of the shows, of which there are many, many, many shows. I believe over 60 performances will be taking place during that time period. And you've been hearing a lot about that on WCRI, as Mark Malkovich has been on daily giving you updates as to what's going on. And tonight, for our first special on the festival, we have a special guest. Her name is Susanna Perez Laramie. Welcome, Susanna.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you with us. We're going to find out everything there is to know about you as far as playing the piano and your career. And you're going to be appearing at the Breakers, one of the big-time venues.
Yes, I'm really excited about it. It's a beautiful venue.
It is. I've had the privilege of performing there many times myself, and it's a great spot. And that's going to be on next Wednesday, July 15th. At 9 p.m., and the concert is there, and you have a couple other pianists joining you. Tell us the names of the other people who'd be playing.
First up would be Kenny Saka. He's a Toronto native and is actually from Marin County in California. He'll be playing the Beethoven Opus 111. And then we have Michael Hawley, who is with MIT and from Cambridge, obviously, and he'll be playing some transcriptions of Bach Busoni, as well as Rachmaninoff, and then ending with a big Bernstein transcription. So should be a very exciting night.
Very exciting night. And the interesting thing about the title of this concert, Mark has come up with some interesting titles throughout his career for the various concerts that are being put on. But I was drawn to this when it says professional amateurs. Now, that's kind of an oxymoron. It's, you know, as I mentioned to you earlier, like plastic glass or jumbo shrimp or military intelligence is one I always remind my military friends about. Tell us why this show is called professional amateurs.
It's really interesting because there is a whole group of us out there who are professionals at something different than music. Doctors, lawyers, dentists, you name it. And who have been pianists pretty much all of our lives and have come in and out of the fold periodically and just have this incredible love for music and the piano. And so we have all of these venues available to us all over the world, concerts, competitions, festivals. And so it's people who are professionals who happen to be amateur pianists. And that's pretty much, I think, where the title came from.
All right. And then before, we just met today for the first time, and I was very interested to find out a little bit about your background. You have certainly a very interesting background that our audience would love to hear about. So let's start at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You were about 6 years old. You started playing the piano, right?
Started playing the piano and then went through the whole rigmarole of piano lessons. And
What town was that in?
In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes, studied with a wonderful woman named Clemmy DeGaramore. Studied with her until I was 18, went to Oklahoma City University to get my bachelor's degree in piano, and studied there with a woman by the name of Ernestine Scott, and she really put me on a fantastic track. I was going to be a music teacher, and after I did my student teaching, I realized that that was not the job for me. Saw, you know, one child eating Cheetos behind their music. It was a little discouraging. So I decided then to go get my master's degree, and I chose the University of Kansas. There is a fantastic pianist there. His name is Siqueira Costa, who's from Lisbon, obviously, Portuguese origin. Came to the University of Kansas in 1973, had an endowed chair, and I studied with him for 8 years, and he really was the, I would say, the the impetus behind me becoming, jumping from being a good pianist to being a really fine pianist. So I then moved to Texas and did not finish my doctorate, moved to Texas, had two children, started working.
Which was a good thing, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. That was a very good thing. I have two daughters, Hannah and Melanie. And so when I was in Texas, I was teaching at McMurray University and then took a sabbatical, went to California, decided to stay in San Francisco. And being in San Francisco, I'm afraid, like I said, it's nirvana for a lot of people.
Right.
They don't leave.
You have flowers in your hair.
Yeah. You don't leave your position when you go there, the weather, et cetera. So I had a terrible time finding a college teaching job. So I kind of cobbled together a career of musicals. I taught at Marin Catholic in the choral program. I taught in the Dixie School District, a music reading. I even sold timeshare. I worked in a bridal shop. So I was basically trying to make ends meet, just doing all of those things. And finally, I just said, I can't do this anymore. And luckily for me, Merrill Lynch was, I just so happened to see an ad in the paper, and Merrill Lynch was hiring non-traditional people. They were very interested in teachers because teachers have a way of communicating with people and educating people that they thought would be good. So I started in the professional development program there, completely gave up the piano, as it was extremely taxing and, you know, very time-consuming job. And so I became a financial advisor. And so I worked in the financial industry from, started in 1996, and did not touch the piano, except for the occasional musical job or whatever. And then my uncle, dearly departed uncle, called me one day, and he lives in Fort Worth, and he said, oh, you have to do this. Van Cliburn just started an amateur piano competition. You have to play. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't played. I haven't been on the stage in 6 years. Can I do this? And so then I finally thought, okay, I'm going to try. So I put together a CD of my playing, sent it in, not realizing, thinking that necessarily I would be accepted. I was accepted. There were over 90, I think 90 people who played in the first round. It was a fantastic experience. I walked out on stage and everything just changed for me in my life, because just hearing, being on stage and playing again, I realized that what I had missed all those years. And so I was hooked. I made it to the semifinals, which I was shocked. Played in the semifinals, didn't make the finals, but I was hooked. After that, I played in so many different amateur piano competitions. The one in Paris, the Concours des Grands Amateurs, I played there 3 times. I was in the finals twice. I went to the Gina Bachauer competition. They started an amateur competition in Salt Lake City, and that was, I won first prize. I played in Boston twice, which I just finished a couple of weeks ago. I was finished in the finals, which I was very happy. Again, another hiatus of playing the piano for, hadn't played in 5 years. And so there are all these competitions all over the world and festivals and opportunities to play. I always tell people that there is an opportunity for you to make music, no matter what it is, and that I think people feel intimidated because they don't feel like that, you know, their playing is like up there with the professionals. It's like all or nothing. But, you know, there are so many people that I've seen them progress and become fantastic over the years, just starting from not having played for years and years, like after medical school. And so just to see them develop and just even see me develop from the time that after I've stopped to now is very exciting. So when I explained all of this to Mark, he caught onto it right away. He got it. He was like, this is really, he said, I had no idea this existed. So he said, yes, so let's do a night of professional amateurs.
And that's how it came about.
That's
now,
right.
I want the audience at home to know that all of that was done without any notes. That's a long history and very interesting the way that you came to this point. And we're going to get to hear some of your music in a moment. I want to get to that, but I also want to come back from that and talk about the program itself and the other people that you're playing with. But right now, you brought a CD with you. Tell us what the first piece of music we're going to hear is.
The first piece of music is the Chopin F minor ballade, the fourth ballade. It's one of my favorite pieces. Starts off very quietly and then builds to this huge climax. It's one of the, I would say it's probably a huge story that's here, that's being told. It's, like I said, it's one of my favorite works.
All right, here we go with Susanna Perez Laramie.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to a special on the Newport Music Festival. The Newport Music Festival is something that is going to be running in its 47th year, 47th season. Very pleased that I was a small part of that back years ago with Mark Malkovich Sr., and now it's been passed on to his son. It was wonderful times dealing with Mark back in the day, and now his son has taken over, and the festival seems to get bigger and bigger and better all the time. Quite an undertaking. Hundreds of pieces that will be played over the next couple weeks. It's going to be running from July 10th to July 26th, and lots of different venues. The Newport Mansions, of course, we're talking tonight with Susan Perez Laramie. She'll be playing at the Breakers on Wednesday night, July 15th, and there's a concert at 9 p.m. There's also a pre-concert reception, and that's a separate ticketed event. That starts at 7:30. And are you going to be at the pre-concert, or are you just preparing yourself, Susanna, for the actual concert?
Yes, I believe I will be preparing myself.
You won't be chowing down with the pre-concert.
No, I will not. I'll be probably quietly sitting somewhere just listening to everyone having a good time.
All right, and that's going to be at the Breakers. And there are lots of different venues that are going to be used for the festival this year. Several of the mansions in Newport and churches and Blythewald. So the concerts are being spread out a little bit. They'll be at the Newport Art Museum. So lots of things to check out. And you can do that by going to newportmusic.org and get all of the information there. Or you can call the phone number 401-849-0700. 849-0700 in the Newport Music Festival. And WCRI is very proud to be one of the sponsors of the festival. We've had Mark on doing lots of updates, and you'll hear them daily here on the radio station. But now let's get back to Susanna. And Susanna, you mentioned in the first segment, we talked briefly about the Van Cliburn program. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, one thing that I also wanted to mention, which is really important, is that the day before, on July 14th, we're doing a screening of a documentary called They Came to Play, which is about the 2007 competition. And I am in it. Ken is in it. I believe Michael was blogging about the competition that year, so I'm not sure. He might have an appearance in the film, too.
And that's going to be 2 p.m. at the Jane Pickens Theater.
Right.
On Tuesday, July 14th. So if you'd like to take that in. Now, that's a deal, because that's free.
It's completely free. It takes place from 2 to 4. We will have the director of the documentary there, and he will be happy to answer questions. There'll be question and answer period afterwards. Michael, Ken, and I will all be there to answer questions. But just seeing this documentary will really prepares people for what's coming next the next night for the concert. You see these people, they tell their stories, which are amazing stories about so many things like upheavals in their lives and that brought them back to the piano. One gentleman was basically replaced windshields at a car repair shop and ended up going back to the piano. I believe he's an ophthalmologist who won the Van Cliburn that year, stopped playing all the time he was in medical school. And so many people find solace in various upheavals in their lives and going back to the piano. We have a tennis coach. So all of these people are in this documentary, and their stories are pretty amazing. So I think that it's a wonderful event, 2 to 4, and it, like you said, it's free.
There you go. You can't do any better than that. 2 to 4 at the Jane Pickens Theater on Tuesday, July 14th. And you haven't been to the Jane Pickens, that's a treat just in itself. So
it
if you're
is.
Not from Newport and you want to get down there, that's another landmark you should see. So now the competition itself, the Van Cliburn, that was what year for you?
The year first time I played was in 1999, mm-hmm. and then the second time I played was in the competition in 2007.
Now, just to be clear, you were already very much an adult in 1999.
Yes, I was. Most of all these competitions are for people over the age of 35. We have, for instance, I played in Boston a couple of weeks ago, and I think the oldest participant is in his 90s.
Wow.
So it just the whole gamut of age. So, you know, they start at 35 because it gets past the college age, people who kind of still have the expertise and the practice time. So that goes definitely when you start at 35, people have already been doing something pretty much they're set in their professions by that time.
Right.
And so most of these competitions start at that age. But the Van Cliburn is a unique competition because of their background as a professional competition. Like we were speaking, that the Van Cliburn and the Gina Bockhauer are the only two, I believe, professional competitions who offer an amateur competition. And you can definitely tell in the way the Van Cliburn runs their show, because they do it in a very professional way. The jury is several of them are former Van Cliburn winners. Olga Kern was a judge. Yadnich, who was they tied for first prize, he was a judge on the jury. And so they run it very, very like clockwork, but are also very accommodating for all of the contestants. And you think about it, some of those people have not been on the stage in 20 years, maybe, and so are extremely nervous. And they're just like the professional competition, your bench, they adjust it for you before you come out, so you don't have to sit there and crank on your bench. Pianos are well tuned, beautiful instruments. The audience has got to be one of the best audiences in the world because of the appreciation for the professional competition.
Now, is that always in the same location?
It was. They've moved. The professional competition has moved. I believe they might still be at TCU for their preliminaries, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But we were at the large auditorium at TCU, and everything was there. And now I believe the finals might be at the Bass Center. I'm not sure. But for the amateurs this year, the next competition is in 2016, and this is the first time they're actually offering a concerto component. So if you make it to the finals, then you get a chance to play a concerto movement with the orchestra, which is very exciting. We don't get that many opportunities to mm-hmm. play with an orchestra, so that should be exciting. Should be very competitive, so we have to get all of our materials in, DVD into them to be accepted. And so I'm definitely going to compete again in 2016. It's a wonderful competition.
Excellent. Now, just to be clear, at the end of the road, you're not receiving a $100,000 prize or anything like this. I guess a lot of people are just doing this for the love of doing it, like in any other hobby or any other sport, or so to speak.
Right.
Some people play golf. Some people play cards. Some people will sing. They'll play the drums, whatever it happens to be. And so this competition is not for a monetary gain.
That's correct. Nor is it for necessarily getting concerts if you're with your traditional professional competition.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think is really exciting about it, my whole philosophy in competing in these competitions is to be able to play as much as possible. And so, of course, my goal is to get to the finals. Not because everybody, of course, loves to win a prize, don't get me wrong, but the most important thing for me is to be able to play. And so also with these competitions, they'll have piano marathons where people can get up and just randomly get up and play their music. They'll have master classes, which I did participate in also in Boston this last time, with fantastic teachers. And it's just a real camaraderie, and there's a collegiality that you probably wouldn't find necessarily in a professional, you know, more of a competitive environment. I mean, mm-hmm. everyone, obviously, they are competitive, but you feel much more
support. There is some cheering on of the other guy. Right,
right, exactly. And, yeah. You know, you'll have people coming in and listening, and they'll be marking their programs just like everyone else, like mm-hmm. who they feel should be in the finals. And then we have people I've seen since 99 at these various competitions, and it's like old home week, mm-hmm. seeing people and catching up on what they're doing. And again, people coming in and out of the fold. And what I say in the documentary is that, you know, my job, it's a wonderful job, but who I am inside is really a musician. So I'm hoping that anyone who's listening who happens to have the violin sitting in a case they haven't touched in 10 years, or they have a piano that they think, because as adults we're so demanding and so on ourselves, and you know, every little mistake we make is like a huge thing. Where you think about children and they'll just go and just go. And so I think that it's really important that those, anyone who's out there who still feels like inside that they have music to express, and as a musician, they should participate. There are so many opportunities to play. You can play assisted living areas. There are, now I see pianos pop up all over the place with a sign that says, play me, you know, at the Minneapolis airport, there was one. I sat down and played. It's so that communication and that, you know, expressing your music is still important no matter what you do.
Absolutely. We're talking with Susanna Perez Laramie. She's going to be performing as part of the Newport Music Festival and talking about make music. Just get out there, whether you play the piano, play the violin, sing, whatever you do, just get out and enjoy. Let's go to another piece of music that is featuring you, and this is a Haydn piece. Tell us about this.
Yes, this is the Haydn Sonata in C major, and it's an unusual sonata from Haydn. It's only two movements. Starts with a slow, the first movement is a slow movement. Second movement is rondo, very lively. And I think it's one of my favorite pieces of his because it is very compact. All of his ideas are very expressed extremely well, and also in a very imaginative way. So yes, this is another one of my favorite pieces.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Susanna Perez Laramie.
Thank you.
Welcome back to a special program about the Newport Music Festival, celebrating its 47th season, July 10th through July 26th. So you still have a couple weeks to stop by and take in some of the wonderful concerts that will be performed all over Newport and further up to Blythewald and some churches involved in the Newport Mansions. And tonight we have been speaking with Susanna Perez Laramie, who will be performing on Wednesday, July 15th at the Breakers, 9 p.m. concert, along with two of her friends, which we've talked about. And then we also want to mention that the day before that, on Tuesday, July 14th, she'll be at the Jane Pickens Theater at 2 o'clock for a free movie documentary about the things we've been talking about. Susanna, the program that you're going to play that evening involves Michael and Ken, as we mentioned a couple times.
Yes.
And it's tell us one more time what the music actually will be.
Okay, so the concert opens with Ken Isaka, who's playing the Beethoven 111, and then a little short break, and then Michael Hawley will be playing some Bach Busoni transcriptions, Rachmaninoff transcriptions, and Bernstein transcription. I believe it's the overture to Candide. And
then the big featured performer.
Then there'll be an intermission, and then I'm going to play Schumann's Carnival. Okay. And which is an exciting piece of vignettes Schumann wrote. It's a unique piece. One of my favorites. And then we'll have a little surprise finale with the three of us. And so I won't say what that piece is, but it should be fun. Should be an interesting way to wrap up the evening.
A little teaser there.
Yes, right.
Now, tickets for this particular event are available by going through the website, which is newportmusic.org, or can be even purchased by telephoning, and that's 401-849-0700. And it'll take all your credit cards are also available. So, if you don't have the cash, it's all right. We'll take credit cards. And the tickets for this event are $42 for the concert only. Or if you want the pre-concert reception and the concert, which would start then at 7:30, it's $75. So a great deal. You'll hear some wonderful music. You'll get to meet Susanna. Will you have 8x10 glossies available?
Oh, yes, I'll be signing.
Well, that would be good. That would be nice. I think you could sell a lot of those. But I want to thank you so much for coming in today. And as we talked about the festival, it's a great event. And it was a pleasure to meet you and find out a little bit about your history.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And I feel very privileged and very happy to be playing in the Newport Music Festival this year.
All right. This is the first show of several that we're going to be doing on WCRI for the festival. So look forward to some others coming down the road. But right now we have one more piece of music, just kind of give you a little taste of what you'll be hearing on Wednesday night when Susanna is playing. Tell us about this piece.
This was the first piece of the Schumann Carnival, and it's the introduction. It's kind of a very grand introduction to the whole piece. So I can just imagine how it's going to sound at the Breakers, and I'm really excited to be playing it.
Great. See you all at the Breakers on Wednesday, July 15th.